Okay. So, should I start?
Please.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. What I'm going to do first is give you the background context and the challenge, the challenge of using stories in revitalization, stories and texts as a web-based resource. I'm going to give you two examples, a story called Why Dove Cries and a story called Bear Woman. All right, so this is a map of the languages of California. The Pomoan languages are to the north there, and there are seven distinct languages. Some people think that they're dialects because they're all named Pomo, but they are seven very distinct languages, and Northern Pomo is up north. I want to express my gratitude to these two people who I worked with for 25 years, Edna Campbell Guerrero and Eleanor Stevenson Gonzalez. They were two of the last fluent speakers of the language. After their deaths, I had many sound files and field notes and papers from over 25 years of field work, and a desire to make these materials available to people in the community. There was community expressions of interest, but as everyone at this conference knows, there are many, many practical obstacles. So we started a project about 6 years ago, and let me stop and thank the conference organizers, because we have now been to three ICLDCs about this work, and it has been just a wonderful venue for that. So we started a website, but what is the content, you know, and how should that content be accessed? In a context without any fluent speakers, it really seemed to us that flexibility and multiple entry points is really the key. So we kind of came up with this theme, many entryways for everything, because people differ in their interests, and some people want to learn the language, other people want to know, how do I say hello, right? And there's everything between that. So one challenge was how to make the materials interesting and useful for many different purposes, easy to access. The current version of our website now has more different entry points, so these are sort of expanding as the years go by. And today we're going to talk about stories and texts. So the stories and texts I'm going to be talking about were told by Edna Campbell, Eleanor Stevenson, Annie Lake, and a few other Northern Pomo speakers. They were recorded by Eero Wiechmann, who was at University of California, Berkeley in the 60s, and then by myself in the 80s and 90s. So the section on stories and texts on the website is growing thanks to the UC Berkeley Archive, and I'm going to thank two people who are here who work on that, Julie Nee and Edwin Coe. We have 70 plus recordings now and have been working to put them into the usable format that we're going to describe. So why include stories and texts in a setting where you want to have language learning? So I'm going to give you just this quotation from Heredia and Francis, who wrote about Coyote as reading teacher, oral tradition in the classroom. And this is not a California language work, but the idea is very important. Storytelling was a way of relating history, transmitting cultural knowledge, giving expression to the aesthetic and poetic endeavors of all Native American peoples. And you'll see that in these stories. But how to use them, right? How to use them in teaching the language. This is an unsolved problem. There are a few sources on this, but virtually all of the focus is on either using stories to support children, Native children who are already fluent in their efforts to learn English, or using stories to support Native children in retaining their language, so it's becoming endangered. There's very, very little about situations of dormancy where there are no fluent speakers and the children and young people do not know the language at all. So our job was to figure out how to embed stories and texts into our website in a way that would make them most useful for anyone in the Northern Pomo community who wants to use them in the future as part of revitalization efforts. So first we'll describe how the texts are embedded in the website, and then we'll discuss two stories and how we've worked to make them maximally accessible. So I'm actually going to sit down here because I'm too tall for this. I can't reach the button without like losing my balance. Okay, so you start on the entry page and you click on stories and texts, and it takes you to a landing page for the stories and texts. And each one has a little button that explains roughly what it's about. Only about 9 of them are displayed, many more are in process. So what are the resources for each story? And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to start a video, which we did, of the website because we did not trust the internet, which was apparently a very good judgment to make. Okay, so what you see here is there's the title. As you scroll down, there are the lines of the story. There's the translation. But I'm going to go back up to this, which is a video. Okay, so that tells the speaker, here's the video. And you can see there's 3 options. You can have Pomo subtitles, English subtitles, or both. So I'm going to choose English for this one. Okay.
And customs. Ni kan nima baat nima koi mo naman ha nitsulatan nita tay ko macam nilo na adin ha.
Back to this brief text, and now I'm going to show you what happens when you start to explore it using these resources down below. So the Pomo's on the left, the English is on the right. You can click, actually you can play the entire story by clicking that button. You will hear the whole thing, you can read along with it, okay? Or you can click on it. Okay, so that sort of slows it down. You can see what's happening. There's another option, which is you can print out an entire version of this. Now, I'm going to show you something new, which is the gloss button. When you toggle all glosses, what you get is all the lines become the 4-line format where you have a breakdown of all the words into their morphemes. Okay? So you can study an individual line detail at it as you listen to it. Okay? And you don't have to do that. You can close them all up and just look at the ones you want. So each one has a little gloss button that you could look at. Okay? Now notice that some of these words are in color. If you click on those, they take you to the dictionary. Okay, we have a talking dictionary, and you can hear different speakers saying these words. Okay. Okay, so there's at least 8 different ways of accessing these texts. You have 3 different choices of subtitles, and the experience of listening to that with the Pomo subtitles is different than the experience of listening to it with the English subtitles, or with both. You can do this line by line, played all at once, 1 line at a time you can hear them. You do the 4-line morphogloss for isolated lines or for the whole story, and you can print it out in multiple ways, okay? Okay, so I'm going to do a little ad for our poster tomorrow. We're going to be talking about these resources and how you can adapt them for use in your own language. So the code is open source, free, it's downloadable from GitHub. We have a handout, people you can contact. So if you're interested in this for your own language, you could come to the poster and get a handout. Or if you're not available, just write to us. Okay, so but getting people to access the resources is tricky. These are complicated scenes, right? You see a lot going on, and for a lot of people, they're just kind of like, whoa, that's too much, right? I didn't even notice there was a video there, right? And stories are tougher than words or phrases. Even though they're more interesting, they can seem very intimidating. And when we have several different versions of the same story, how do we leverage them? How do we work with those? Okay, and particularly in this situation of the dormant language, which is where we are always. So let's look at a story that is sometimes called Dove Boy, it's sometimes called Why Dove Cries. And I'm just going to give you a synopsis. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. So here's the synopsis, and this is Edna Campbell Guerrero's version. So Dove Boy goes out to gather clover with his grandmother, and she tells him she's dying for water, and she asks him to go get her water. And he goes, but he dawdles, and he gets distracted, and he's playing along the way. He's kind of a goofball. He gets the water, but then he gets distracted. He's throwing rocks at birds and things like that. And when he gets back, she's gone. Then he hears a voice saying, "Because you were gone so long, I died of thirst." So he cries. And that is why that kind of dove cries. Okay, so that is the story. And you can see here, I'm just going to do a little excerpt of the video here. So, going with the old lady to gather clover. Okay, so she says, "I'm going to die of thirst."
So, kacho kalajili. Kakadim.
Get water with this basket. Okay, so then she describes him playing, running around, getting distracted.
Hold up.
Hitting birds with rocks on the way,
chasing
rabbits. Okay. And then he comes back and he says, "Grandma, where are you?" Calling out for
her.
And then you hear the grandmother.
Tin masyo kanto kacho kala.
I've left you. So that is the sound of the mourning dove. So you can see there's a theme there that sort of corresponds to what that original text that we looked at on customs. Take care of your elders, that is your work. Leave them alone and go play around, something may happen to them. Here's another version of this story. Dove Boy is a young man. He's camping with his mother and sister. He goes out hunting. He's gone, comes back, they're murdered. They've been murdered, okay? This is a little bit more serious version of this same tale. Then there's another one, Annie Lake's version. Dove Boy is a young man who's with his grandmother. He goes out gambling. Who knows how long he's gambling, right? When he comes back, she's dead. So you can see, in some sense, all of these three versions bring back the theme of that text that we first listened to. And they're adapted to different ages, right, and different situations. So it gives examples of these cultural rules. And in addition, the Pomo language versions give readers examples of the language in use. So there's all of these things that you can learn how to say. And you can get breakdowns of the word structure. Oh, and let me point out here, there's these big spaces between these. That's because somebody uses the wrong browser, okay? Don't use Firefox. Just telling you. Okay. But it's kind of difficult to use these linguistic elements as starting points for language learning in a dormant situation. So we decided to prioritize leveraging the cultural 5 minutes. Whoa, okay. Leveraging the cultural content in order to prepare for later language learning, we decided to introduce the story in English in a page-turning app, which I'm going to show you, with illustrations from a talented community member, Yosha Carson, who is sitting here in the front row. So I'm going to show you these beautiful, this is animated, also this is a video. This is told by Edna Campbell Guerrero. So you click on the upper right-hand side and it turns. There's the grandmother telling her grandson, go get me some water with this basket. I'm gonna die of thirst if you don't do that. So then he flies off. Isn't that a beautiful illustration? He flies off way down south, going towards the stream. He's playing around. He's doing this and that, jumping around, swinging in the trees. Then he gets to the water, and he gets some water, and he turns back, and he's still playing. This is all in English, right? So this is perfectly accessible. And then he comes to where his grandmother was, and she's gone. And he calls out. She's gone. Then he looks up. He sees this small bird flying. That must have been his grandmother. So he stood and watched, and he started to cry. And that is why this one kind of bird cries. So that's why we hear this for the mourning doves. Okay, so this version gives access to cultural knowledge, community members' art, and a nice technology. How could it be useful? A person is hearing a story from their ancestral culture. That's valuable. But in addition, as you learn the story, it prepares you to learn it in a different language. So when you know a story, so if I were trying to learn the three little pigs in another language, I would know that at some point the wolf would be saying, I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, right? So the more you know of a story, the easier it is for you to learn it in a new language. And there is actually some research about this. I'm not going to go into it, but okay, now I'm going to do this for the last 4 minutes. A story called Bear Woman, different story, very different. So this is Edna's version one. Bear Woman asks her daughter-in-law, Deer Woman, to go out to pick clover with her. Once there, she asks Deer Woman to pick lice off of her, but she doesn't like how Deer Woman reacts, so she breaks her neck and pulls out her eyes. Then she eats the eyes. Then she decides to go kill her son, Deer Woman's husband, okay? Then she decides to kill Deer Woman's children, her own grandchildren. So they go through a series of perilous escapes and they get assistance from various other characters like Crane and some baskets that help them. And then numerous characters coordinate so that Bear Woman falls into the river and is carried out to the ocean and drowns. Here's version two. This is very interesting. Edna told this 20 years before. Bear Woman asks her daughter-in-law, Deer Woman, to go out to pick clover with her. Bear Woman puts lizards and lice on Deer Woman to trick her into letting Bear Woman come and pull them off so she can get close enough to break her neck and kill her. And then she pulls out Deer Woman's eyes. She doesn't mention the son. The grandchildren recognize their mother's eyes and they say, "You killed our mother." She denies it, but then she starts chasing them and they push her off the bridge and she drowns. Okay, so this is, you understand this sort of schema here, right? Now, Edna told me she first heard this story when she was 7 or 8 years old. Her grandmother told her, and she said, "I love this story, and every time I went there, I asked her to tell me the story." And a lot of people go, "Ooh, that's a pretty harsh story," but think about like Hansel and Gretel, those Grimm's fairy tales. Whoa, right? Two children are trapped by an old lady who fattens them up so she can cook them and eat them. Like, what is that about, right? So if you start looking at like traditional stories, this is how they are, right? And when you're a child, you don't see them that way. When you're an adult looking at them, you see, oh, I never thought about that, right? So it's a linguistically very complex story. So what's the value of this? How can it be used? Should we use all four versions? They all have common elements, but they have different emphases and different vocabulary, right? So different versions of them bring out different vocabulary. And I want to point now to something very interesting. We've found Bear Woman stories with these same elements from several different tribes across California. And so is this of possible value for community members as they consider the bigger meaning of this or other stories? So we put a resource after the stories with links to these other languages that tell the same story. And why is that interesting? Because the powerful elements of these stories can be used in creative ways in the current day. We don't have to, community members can decide, how do we want to use this? And I want to give you a wonderful example of this. So I have a colleague who is an expert in graphic novels, And when she was in college, her name is Laura Jimenez, and when she was in college, she had a Chumash friend who told her this bear woman story. So I was talking to her about this paper, and she said, oh, you have to see this. Dear Woman, an anthology, Native Realities Publishing. Now, Dear Woman is a persona who extracts revenge by killing men who harm women and by giving strength to women. Okay, so many people participated in this anthology telling stories, creating new stories about Dear Woman. And the publisher says, as the intro to this anthology, the eroticization and marginalization of Native women to fulfill colonial fantasies of power is a common theme running through literature and comic books. We concluded that an anthology featuring all Native stories by all Native women, as inspired by Dear Woman, was a necessary step in the evolution of the work. So I think this is a really beautiful example of an unexpected example of how these stories can be opened up by people who are descendants of the original people who told these stories. So a final point, in creating learning materials based on stories, we, and when I say we, I mean primarily white European Americans who have been linguists who have this material and are trying to put it out there, we leave open the interpretation and the use of the stories. And what we're trying to do is prepare for community members to move forward in deciding how to use them and expand on them. So having as a collaborator, Erica Carson here, mother of Yosha, the artist, is extremely encouraging and really helps me feel like there's a chance that these things will be useful. Okay, so in conclusion, we talked about the tools for putting text on a website. We talked about how bringing English versions into Pomo texts in an illustrated version in English may be useful. And we talked about how exploring a story across many tellers and many tribal contexts may be illuminating in ways that we can't anticipate. So, thank you. Questions? So Yosha has a question.
I have a suggestion.
You have a suggestion, okay.
Maybe you could do a tab for songs and prayers.
That's a really good idea. Songs. We don't have really very many prayers that we've been able to identify. One, which will be there. But songs. And it may be possible to maybe find more resources. I don't know. So we can see about that. But I think you're right. Having a link for songs is a great idea. Yeah?
So just real quick, just a little thing that we've actually done at home was being able to pull out, go on there and it says my paternal grandmother, and the way we sing a traditional song. And we were able to actually create new song. And so for the kids coming up these days, and after I actually, we recorded the song, and then I went to sleep and actually dreamt of what the dance was supposed to look like. So let's create new song, and so that when we sing and we dance and you know, our ceremonies, then we can make new dance. And so we were able to do that by just having this at our hands and fingertips. So then we'll have new song to put links.
Yeah. So if we put the song links in, the same thing will happen, right? That's kind of generative and creative, rather than this is just a history. It is a history, but it's more than a history. It's material to use.
Well, because we're living history.
Yeah.
And so we're the people who are actually using it right now. Yeah.
I have so many things to talk about that we're going to have to talk about.
Okay.
But just one thing, a couple of things. Number one of the things I've been working on for a while is an anthology of stories from the Wick Miller Collection in Shoshone and Goshute.
Uh-huh.
And there are like 13 Sun, Cottontail Kills the Sun. There are other series where multiple speakers from multiple dialects across the Shoshone territory tell the same story. And I have thought for years that it has to be all of the speakers telling all of the same story in multiple ways to really get the story. So I'm so excited about what you're doing here. Second, we have at least one version of Bear and Deer.
Really?
Yes. And they actually...
Wow.
I cannot remember all of it. It's very gory, and our high school kids drew pictures for it. It was so... seemed out of line that we were not sure, so we have not published, I don't think we've published that book.
Yeah.
But the similarities are incredible.
Yeah, and that's very interesting.
It isn't Bear Woman, and there's no ocean, because these are Shoshone people and not Pomo people, but you know.
Yeah.
So,
That's very interesting.
And I love your software, so I have to come
okay,
in
great.
And find out more.
There's a number of stories where there's like in-laws having conflict.
These were friends. Deer and Bear
were friends.
Mothers with children.
Yes, we have one of those.
Who all played together and so on and so forth, but then something went wrong and one of them killed the other. So the kids took revenge.
By killing the other children. Yes, yes they did. They put them in a...
A cave.
Oh,
I think it was a cave.
In this it was
like
a...
That.
It was a...
A
sweat house, and then they smoked them to death.
Some kind of house. I don't remember the story because I haven't read it for. I haven't gone back at it for years.
Yeah.
But as you were telling this, I thought, oh no.
Yeah.
I could almost tell where you were going.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I have a friend who works at the Sunhouse Museum in Ukiah, Sherry Smith Ferry, and she said there are these stories they've put in books. Pomo stories, she's Southern Pomo, and people, white people, come into the gift shop and say, oh, an Indian book, you know, for children, right? This is a story for children. And she's like, read it, you know?
Well, I was actually less PC about it, but some of the older people, the older Shoshone and Goshute people said, these aren't suitable for children. But they were taking a very Western perspective.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of stories about coyote killing people or other animals. There's a lot of killing going on in these stories.
Well, and that's,
and they were told to children, weren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Edna says, you know, this was her favorite story when she was 7 years old, right?
Yeah. So it's very exciting.
Boring. Of, well, I have trepidation, you know. I feel sort of like, wow, you know, because people have this reaction when they hear that story. Oh, they're gnarly.
They are. But what's interesting is that, I mean, this is what kids grew up on until about the 1970s.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. And the babification of some of these stories has led to many of the kids now actually being kind of disinterested. Like
disinterested and scornful.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yet the older ones have a lot more essence to it. There's a message underneath. And it's, and what you were showing about Dove Boy. And the cultural message. I mean, that's what it comes into. But I don't want to hijack this. We have about two more minutes for questions, and if anyone else has questions, and then we could have a conversation during the break.
Okay.
Does anyone have any other questions?
Okay.
So Noreen and I were presenting on our Blackfoot Stories database this morning, and so we don't have nearly the elaborate suite of tools you have. Right?
But you can use them.
And then that's fantastic. Yeah, like this is really exciting for us to hear. But I received a question. We received a question, so I thought I'd pass on this question to you. Are you tracking who's using what aspects? Like what entryway are people using to look at your stories? Like,
well, you know, we don't, we're not tracking it. It's,
nor are we, but so yeah, so that
yeah, we're not tracking it. And I think what we would like to do is more have, so when Erica is working with, she holds culture camps and classes for students, and she's working on how do we get them to use this website? Are there ways we can tweak it to make it more obvious or easier, you know? And there's always things that can be better, right? So we don't know what are the ways into it? And who are those users? We're not tracking it. I don't know.
So well, there you can set that up, right? So you can kind of behind the scenes. But yeah, we also have not looked at that.
But I also feel, you know, sometimes I feel a little bit like in the current environment, you know, do you want to track people.
I don't mean in that sense.
No, I know. It's not like you'd be getting there.
You could probably if you're getting hits from the school or something, that would be cool to know. Or,
yeah.
Right, you know, like,
yeah.
It would be nice. Before, like, so we're even in earlier stage than you were. It's not like, how could we make it better, but who's using it?
Who's using it?
When?
Well,
and
yeah.
So if it's on a website, you can get website analytics. You can just,
that's
you
true,
can
I guess. We might look at that.
I just want to let people know that it is weekend, and we have a 10-minute break. Mm-hmm. So if you want, it sounds like there's a lot of conversation about it, but I just want to give people that opportunity.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.